I do. We come into your presence this morning. We, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ask for you to be present with us now, Lord. I pray as we look at your beauty and how you draw us into yourself, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to see how we're connected to you and how apart from you we can do nothing. Lord, I just pray right now that you just help us understand this, Lord, and help us to see you more clearly, and help us see the need for you, and also how you're connected to us and how it changes our lives, Lord, and how it empowers us, and how it allows us, Lord, to love others deeply. Lord, it all comes from you. And Lord, I just pray for that now. And I pray now, Lord, if there's someone sitting out here that doesn't know who you are, I pray that they would put their faith in you, that they would see your beauty and your glory and your majesty, Lord, and they would just fall in love with you, that you would draw them to yourself. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to say one thing. Our Lottie Moon goal was $5,000, and last week we reported we fell a little short of that, of $4,640, I think. Well, another $100 came in, and then another $500 came in. So we're over. So, and I can't help but think about Marta. You know, Marta physically can't be here anymore, and she used to chastise me every year, saying our goal is too low. She would say, because I would say 2,500, and she says, this should be 5,000. We can do 5,000. You know, and this year we set it for 5,000, and guess what? We went over 5,000. Amen. So I thank you for everybody who gave. Remember, that money goes right to missionaries, and it's a unique opportunity for us to help out to spread the gospel throughout the world. This little church, we can influence many. So I'm excited about that. We're going to look at connections again this morning in a series this week. We started a little bit last week on connections. And this week we're looking at connections in Jesus Christ. And you have an outline on the back of your bulletin. And I would encourage you to flip it over and then take notes. But I'm hoping that I'm not overreaching here, because I got these big thoughts in my head. I see things in Scripture. And I'm just so thankful that God is shown me things, and I sometimes in my zealousness, my eagerness, let's say that, eagerness to understand and to teach, I get a little over. I don't mean to, but I just get wrapped up in it. And so I hope that's not the case. I don't think it will be, but I hope that you start to see being connected in Christ and how that all works, and how God is relational. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and how he draws us into this in an amazing relationship. I look at the Trinity, and it just helps me understand why God does the things he does and how he wants us to be a part of it. And he brings us into this beautiful relationship that he has. And everything stems from that. And we're all connected in this way. And I just see that. We're going to talk about it. Last night I was watching a football game. Well, actually, I was trying to do some stuff, but I was listening to Sharon and Jacob, who are both Pittsburgh Steelers fans, going crazy out in the living room for hours. And I finally just came out and sat down and I watched it. But I was thinking about this last night, trying to imagine myself being a player. I mean, I played high school football and Pop Warner, and my kids played for years. And so, you know, I've played and I've watched and I've coached. But I was trying to picture myself being a player on the sideline who has worked hard all year long. I mean, just NFL players today, it's all year. It's not like showing up in the summer and getting in shape and playing anymore. It's all year. And I just think about all the hot days of the summer. I mean, I remember, we practiced back in the day, I can say that now, with the big thick cotton shirts on in August. And the coaches wouldn't give us water. I mean, there would be abuse now, but they wouldn't give us water because they said water was for weaklings. But I just think about that. You play 16 games in 17 weeks. I mean, I just can't imagine that. The beating your body would take. And you just played the best you could. It's the playoffs. It's the last game, the last play of the season. And it rests on a kicker who comes out in a clean uniform. Just think about that for a moment. All that work rests on his foot. And he trots out on the field to kick a field goal. And if he makes it, and this is from the kicker's perspective, I can't help but switch to him. You know, if he makes it or misses it, it doesn't matter. Either way, millions of people are either going to love him or hate him. Even on his own teammates or the other side. I mean, all that pressure on him. But for a moment before the snap, everyone is powerless. Just think about it, they have no control over what happens in the next few seconds. No control. He either makes it or you go home or you keep playing. And as a player or a fan, you don't have any control over what happens next. And think about that in life. In life, we come into all kinds of situations where you have no control. You ever been in a situation, you just no control. There's nothing you can do. Nothing. And it's hard for us because as human beings, we want to control everything that happens. So that being in powerless situations, there's so many times that we face these. And what do we do in these situations? What do you do when you're in that powerless situation? How do you handle them? Some of us handle them well. Some of us don't handle it so well. Sometimes we do it better than others. But I think maybe the answer lies in how we cope with this before we even get into the situation in the first place. Because those things are going to happen in life. There's nothing you can do about them. So I think you have to kind of prepare yourself for them. Maybe the answer is how to get through them, these powerless situations, rest in how we're connected to one another and how we're connected to God. That's how I kind of see it. This morning we're going to continue to look at our need to be connected, plugged into Christ, and plugged into one another. In this message this morning, we'll see our need to start with our own need to be connected with Jesus Christ, and how through that connection with Christ fills all our other relationships. In fact, I would say it's foundational. In fact, it's so foundational, our connection to Christ and our other relationships, that it actually gives our other relationships meaning and purpose, and it actually adds depth to them. They're not just surface connections, but we can really connect with other people in a very unique way, and I think it's because we can connect with God through Christ. What I hope you'll discover this morning is that as Christians, we are far from being powerless, and we can endure with God's power that he supplies to get us through difficult times and to get us through difficult times in relationships. And he can help us to make it as Christians, to live the Christian life. And I think it's centered on relationships with Christ and relationships with one another. That's how we draw strength on this. Last week we talked about our need for relationship. You and I need to be connected to other people. I know some of us don't like that thought, but it's a reality. You have to be connected. And it starts even as babies, and it will continue throughout our whole entire life. We will spend a large portion of our life seeking out safe connections, nurturing connections, seeking relationships, grieving broken relationships, and the list goes on and on, but we will spend a lot of time in and about relationships. Just think about your own life and the relationships that you have. There is no doubt we need relationships. Think about this on a large scale. Just even take the camera out further and look even bigger. We build entire cultures to help us bind ourselves to each other. And so that we can identify with each other and bond with each other as a people. we do this. And this is universal. You see this all over the planet. People everywhere will do this. From the very beginning, we know our need for attachments. Think about babies as an example. They readily will form bonds with people with no knowledge of any social skills whatsoever. They will just bond. They have no understanding of cost and benefit of a relationship. They just know they need it. From the very beginning, innocently, they just seek to have that. If you've had kids or seen kids, you see that in them. They just have to. Relationships are costly. And if you've been in relationships for a while, you know the cost. And there's risk to connect with others. Relationships take a lot of resources, time, and effort. You have to work at them. I've been married 28 years this month, and I can tell you Sharon's had to work really hard in our relationship. Right? Oh, we both have. It's a lot of work for us. I mean, I have to consciously think about it. Consciously keep working at it. Keep pursuing my wife. I just believe that you have to. I mean, we have that need, that drive. And there's some relationships that we have are more needy than others. And you know about those too. And once we're in a relationship, once we make a commitment to a relationship, a friend or someone special, it is hard for us to let go of those relationships. And in those relationships, especially when they're forming, there's highs and lows. I mean, if you're in the beginning of a relationship, you know it's an emotional roller coaster. It drives you nuts. And I got to tell you, through time, they won't be so bumpy because you start to worry less about things that really have no importance, but try to focus on it because you just get tired. Yeah, I think you get wore down. After 20 years, I know I'm wore down on some things. But once these bonds are making, you're reluctant to let them go, even if it's a stress relationship. And if you've been through that, you know it's hard to just break apart, even when you know it's good for you. We were made for relationship, and it's scientifically proven. And I'm not singling out single people, but married couples are healthier, they have less stress, and live longer than single people. That's scientifically proven. I think you see our need, and I believe that this relational need comes from being made in the image of God. I believe it exactly, it's tied to the image of God. The biblical God of creation is a relational God. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, one essence, God. Yahweh is a triune God. And we have to think about that. I know this is complicated, and I kind of hope you stay with me. If you can start to see this, this will truly see how God is. You will start to understand how He works in your lives, and it's truly amazing. And this idea that God or the fact that God is Trinity is an important Christian doctrine. It is central to the Christian faith. In fact, it separates Christianity from all the other religions. And if you look throughout history, all the heresies, everything centers around the Trinity in some way, shape, or form, especially around the deity of Christ. It's what separates us from all the other faiths. The doctrine of the Trinity makes relationship with God possible. I believe, because he sets it up that way. I say that because through God, He provides a means which we can truly know Him despite our sinfulness. And I think it comes from being in Trinity. God seeks to restore a broken relationship, and He provides a way through His Son. And so we're going to look at that. But firstly, I want to establish that God is one. Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5 says this: "Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. "You are my witness." And Isaiah 43:10 says this: "The Lord's declaration that my servant whom I have chosen, so that you will know and believe me and understand that I am he. No God was formed before me, and there will be no God after me. That's it. No God before me, no God after me. I'm God. Period. End of story. There's no other God. And James tells us, you believe God is one, you do well. Demons also believe and they shudder. And one God. And we see that in the Old Testament and echoed in the New Testament. Christianity is a monotheistic religion. It doesn't have multiple gods. It has one God. We do not believe in three gods. We do not believe that God manifests himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but that he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons, one essence, one of God. He is God. How does this work? I think the best way to see how the Trinity works, to wrap your brain around it, is to actually see it in Scripture doing something. Would you agree? You want to see how it's working and how it's functioning. Because then you can kind of in your mind see how it's all connected together. So I hope that you will open up your Bibles. If you have Bibles, we're gonna do something here. And we're going to look at, just turn your Bibles while you're turning there. I'll kind of set the stage what we're going to do here. What I want you to keep in your mind as we look, starting at the end of chapter 14, 15, and 16, we're going to look just at passages through there. But I want you to keep one thought in your mind, and I put it on the back of your bulletin. Just open up to John 14 at the back. I see confusion. Just look at John 14. Keep your finger there, and I'll walk you through it. But as you're going there, I want you to keep this one thought in your mind. And I put it on the back of the bulletin, and I hope that you memorize it. Because this is what it says. It says, to the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. To the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. Put that into memory. And as we read this, we'll see how God works and how he's drawn us into a relationship through the Holy Spirit. And so let's look at it. Let's see the Trinity at work. You want to see it? You all right with this? All right, so here we go, right? John chapter 14. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. He's teaching them. And so you can look, John 14, starting in verse 19. Just listen to the language here. In a little while, the world will see me no longer, but you will see me because I live, you will live too. That should get our attention, right? In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The one who has commands, and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and also will love him and will reveal myself to him. Do you see kind of what's going on here? There's some work between the Son and the Father bringing us into this relationship. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it we're going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered, now listen to this. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we, you see that? We will come to him and make our home with him. And then the one who doesn't love me will not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send him in my name and will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've told you. You see the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit right there and what's going to happen. And you see how it all works together. You see them working together. Look at the end of chapter 15, starting in verse 26. What does he say? Jesus says, when the Counselor comes, the one I send, now we see that the Father is going to send. Now we see the Son saying, I'm going to send. So who is it? They're both working together in this. You can see that when the Counselor comes, and that's the Holy Spirit, it will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, and he will testify about me. He will also testify because you have been with me from the beginning. So we see the Son and the Father working together, and they're going to send the Counselor who's going to make Christ known. See, look down in chapter 16, starting in verse 7. Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, here's that word again, the Counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin, about sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then just flip over a little bit more. Over to verse 13, 16, 13. You there? When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak his own words, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. And here's the key, verse 14. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. So we see it work here. We see the Father and the Son working together, providing a way, and the Holy Spirit convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and pointing them to Christ, the only one who can save them. We see the Father sending the Son, and we see by the Son we can know the Father, and the Holy Spirit is the one who is working in the church and moving us in that direction. We see the Trinity at work, how it works in your life and how it has brought you to where you are today. I don't know, I read that and I'm amazed by that. I get pretty excited about that. God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all working together. And he is actively working to bring us into a lasting relationship with himself. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit. And I also hope that you see in this passage that it's all relational. You see that God is working in relationship. He doesn't do anything by himself, but we see the Father and Son interacting and the Holy Spirit coming from the Father and Son to bring us into this relationship of the Trinity. And you can see it. I get excited when I see that in Scripture, but I love these passages in the Bible when it starts at 14, 15, and 16 because it's so rich and you can see how God is working in your life. You can see how God has brought you into a relationship with himself. Do you see it? I hope you do. I hope. I love these passages, but can we actually see it? And then also, you can see, well, where does this come from, right? Where else do we see this in the Bible? How about Genesis chapter 1? Genesis chapter 1. Go ahead and open up the Genesis chapter 1. In fact, the first two verses says this. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. We see God and Spirit working in creation. From the very beginning, we see God working in relationship. He's always working in tandem, or is in Trinity. God and the Spirit of God working in creation. And we also know in the New Testament, Paul would identify Christ as the Creator. I mean, you don't even have to turn there, but I'll just read it for you. Colossians 15 through 7, first chapter 15 through 17 says this. He is the image of the invisible God. And he's talking about Christ. The firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things are held together. That's amazing to me. So we see this Trinity at work in creation. And I think this is verified when we read Genesis 1, 26 and 27. You ready? You're going to see this connection. Starting in verse 26. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. That's a plural form of Elohim, which is amazing to me. That there, in Genesis, we see this. That it's been echoed throughout the whole scripture. And then he continues to say, they will rule over the fish and the seas and the birds and the skies and the livestock and all the earth and the creations, that the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. So we see we were created in the relationship of the Trinity. We're made in the likeness of it, and that we need relationship. We're made for relations. And in fact, he made us man and woman. Right off the bat, he made it to set it up for relationships. Right from the beginning. And I think it's directly tied to the Trinity, because he is in relationship all the time. And he creates man to be in relation. I'm seeing the starry eyes. Are you with me? All right, it's kind of like a college class this morning. But I think it's so foundational. If you can grab hold of this, it'll change the way you look at relationships and how you look at other people and how you connect to people and why it's important. We were made to be relational by a relational God. We're made to be in relationship with him, and we're made to be in relationship with one another. In the garden, we see peace. We see peace between the relationship between God and man. In fact, the Jews call this shalom. Have you ever heard of the word shalom? It's peace, shalom. It was the peace in the garden. And that's why they welcome each other with shalom. May the peace that was in the garden be with you. Perfect relationship and harmony between God and man. In fact, the whole Bible is trying to get us back to peace with God. It starts in a garden, and guess what it's going to end in? It's going to end in a garden. Because he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And all things are going to be restored again. Amen. In fact, when Christ dies, what he does, he says to them, shalom, peace. He's bringing the peace back that exists between God and man. And if we were to continue to read in Genesis, we would see how this relationship with God was broken by sin. It was broken. And if we were to continue to read through our Bibles, and I would encourage you, it's January, start reading through your Bible, we would find through the Bible this unfolding story of God going to great lengths to restore that which was broken. Great lengths to bring us back into a fellowship with himself. We would see creation, fall, redemption, and restoration come full circle from Genesis to Revelation. We see God sending his Son to die for our sins. We would see the Son rise from the dead, ascend to the right hand of the Father. If we keep reading, we would read about the coming of the Holy Spirit that comes into the world to convict it of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and point us to Jesus, who is alone the one who can forgive us, the one by which we have restoration with God and redemption through the shedding of his blood. We would see the work of Christ through the church, establishing his kingdom, calling out his people, restoring peace with God. That's an incredible story that we have. That's all in this book, showing us, unfolding before us, to bring us into this relationship with Christ. And we would read, if we kept reading, how he's going to restore all things through Christ. And in the end, we'll spend eternity with him in a new heaven and new earth. It starts with us being in Christ. None of it happens without Christ and being in him. The Christian life begins and ends with Jesus Christ. There is no other way around it. It is in Christ that we find the power to live the Christian faith. It is in this relationship with Christ all of our other relationships fall into place. I'm going to close this message out by reading scripture and then just say some closing words. And as I read this passage, I want us to think about what we've talked about here this morning. Think about how God is a triune God. I mean, really just dwell on that. And how He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And how we are made in the image. And how He wants us to be in relationship with Him. I mean, just think about when our relationship with God is broken, all our other relationships are affected. Just think about it. My wife knows, first off, when I'm not right with God. Because of the way I talk to her and the way I conduct myself. We are made in His image, and He wants to be in relationship with us. How through Christ, the Father provides a way, and how from that relationship, all our other relationships are formed and nurtured. So just listen to this passage. And it comes from Ephesians chapter 2, 13 through 22. And here's what it says. You can write it down, but I just want you to listen to it. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of the Messiah. For He is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. In His flesh, He made no effect to the law consisting of command and expressed in regulation, so that He might create in Himself a new man from the two, resulting in peace. Here we go. He did this so that He might reconcile both God in one body through the cross and put the hostility to death by it. And He's talking about the hostility between God and man. When the Messiah came, He proclaimed the good news of peace to you, those who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him, we both have access to one Spirit, to the Father. So then you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household. You see how the Trinity is at work, bringing us into a relationship, a family relationship with Himself. Built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ Himself, the cornerstone. The whole building is being put together by Him, grows into a holy sanctuary to the Lord. And we also are being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. That's an amazing picture. You and I, the church, is being made into a temple in which the Holy Spirit will dwell. And that all of creation will see the immeasurable glory of God's grace. It is our connection to Christ, Christ in us, that brings us into a relationship with God. It is in Christ that we have peace with God and we have peace with one another. It is in Christ we find the strength we need and the ability to endure. How many of you need the ability to endure? It is in Christ all of our relationships find purpose and meaning. And it is the love of Christ that indwells us, that gives depth to our relationships. Because it overflows into them. In Christ we find grace, peace, joy, love, mercy, and forgiveness. And in the strength Christ provides, we can extend those gifts to others. But it all starts with being in Christ, being connected to Christ. How many of you would like your relationships to be better? It starts with Christ, being connected to Christ. That's the first one. And so I just want to encourage you this morning, if you're having trouble in your relationships, seek out the counselor Christ. Look to Him. Seek Him in this book. Pray to Him. And give your relationships to Him. And ask Him to teach you how to love like He loves. And one of the greatest, most powerful prayers I ever prayed is, I was having difficulty in my marriage. This was a few years ago when I was going through cancer. And I was having difficulty with every relationship around me because I was just a miserable person. I don't know, miserable people like to make other people miserable, am I right? I mean, it's just, it don't matter who you are. If you're miserable, you want to make other people around you miserable. It's just reality. And I was really frustrated in my own marital relationship. And I remember I was reading a John Piper book, Desiring God, and one in there, he has a chapter on marriage. And he said he was going through something similar at one time, and he prayed this prayer. He said, I started to pray for God to love my wife through me. Not change my wife. He didn't say, please change her. I mean, I prayed that for years. That didn't work. And I know she's been praying it. That didn't work. Right? That doesn't work. Am I right? Anyone who's been married long enough knows you ain't going to change the person that you're married to. It's just not going to happen. If you think that's going to happen, you're barking up the wrong tree and you're going to be really frustrated. But man, what power there is when we start saying, Lord, love my wife through me. Lord, love my husband through me. Despite me, love them. Changed everything in my relationship. Because I stopped trying to change her or me. I just sought out to have a good, healthy connection with her, to love her, just to show her love, respect, all those things that Christ would want me to do. It changed it. But how about other? Do you have not just a spouse, but difficult people you work with? People, I mean, just think about all the relationships that you have, other family members, and all the other people that you have. If you start thinking along that, Lord, help me love that person. Love, or Lord, love that person through me. Love that person through me. And you can see the power that's in that. And it comes, I believe, from Christ being in Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, where they have joy, love, and peace. And it just overflows into everything else. And He's bringing us into that relationship. And it starts with Christ. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for, Lord, I thank You for the Trinity. I thank you for revealing Yourself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How we can see it, Lord. And I pray right now, Lord, there's a lot of things to think about that You've given us this morning. And I just pray, Lord, that You would help us all to just think about these things, Lord, and just to give You glory. And just, to, Lord, just to be humbled by this incredible reality of who You are, Lord, and the lengths that You went to bring us into a relationship with You. I can't imagine God becoming flesh and living a life that He lived. Only this, and in the sacrifice, Lord, in order that I can have forgiveness of sin. That just isn't amazing to me that You would go to such great lengths for a sinner to bring us into a relationship with You. But You did that for me, and You've done it for millions, if not billions of people. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, right now, if there's anybody here that has never put their faith in Christ, I pray this morning that You would just move in their hearts in such a way that they would see this beauty and just fall in love with it, Lord, and give their life to You. I pray that You would save them now, Lord. I pray that You would rescue them from their sinfulness. I pray that for all of us, Lord. And I also pray for all our relationships. Lord, I think about all the people that we are in contact with. I think about our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, our moms and dads and uncles and aunts and neighbors and guy in a grocery store, it doesn't matter, dentist, whoever. Lord, You put all these people in our lives, and I just pray that You would help us, Lord, to just allow us to work, You to work through us to love them. Show us how that's done, Lord. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.